The Divine Souls. Yesterday, we began looking at a very important topic of Guru. The name of this series is Guru Tattva. So, I explained to you with some technical terms what a Guru is. We started with the term Mayatit, which means one who is beyond Maya. So the Maya Bad or Maya Dheen soul who attains Maya Dheesh Bhagwan becomes Maya Teet, a God realized saint who is beyond Maya. Similarly, we learned about the word Mahatma. Mahatma is an Atma, a Jivatma, an ordinary soul who attains Paramatma, Supreme God, then becomes known as a Mahatma. And I told you about the word Mahapurush. We are all Purush, which means souls with personalities. If we attain Parampurush, Bhagwan, then we become Mahapurush. All of these are just different words for describing a God-realized saint who is beyond Maya. Beyond Maya means they will never be born in this world again unless they choose to come, in which case they can visit this world, but they would not be bound to stay here. They would not be bound by karma. They're not caught in the cycle of birth and death. They're free from all of that, and they get unlimited divine knowledge, unlimited bliss. They receive everything God has. He gives everything to them. That is a God-realized saint, and such a person is known as a guru. तो कल मैंने आप लोगों को बताया कि गुरु ऐसी व्यक्ति है जिसने माया का छुटकारा मिला है जिसको और जिसने भगवान को प्राप्त किया है तो उनको मायातीत बोले या महात्मा बोले या महापुरुष बोले एक ही बात है उसका मतलब है कि सदा के लिए माया से छुटकारा पाया और सदा के लिए परमानंद पाया भगवान पाया इसी को महापुरुष महात्मा या संत या गुरु कहते हैं गुरु इज वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट टू अस इह चे दशकत बोधुम प्राक शरीरस्य विस्रसः ततः सर्गेषु लोकेषु शरीरत्वाय कल्पते कठोपनिषद You've received a human birth. And if you use this human birth and use it to attain the ultimate goal of existence, which is God realization, if you use it for that, good. That's what it was meant for. Excellent. If you don't, then Kathopanishad says you could be, you may not receive a birth as a human in your next life. So, a soul can be born in any of the 8.4 million species of existence, and we could go for literally billions of births before we get another chance to be human. Therefore, uttishthat jagrat prapyavaran nibodhat. Kathopanishad says, therefore, O souls, O humans, awake, arise, seek the association of saints and acquire the knowledge that will allow you to attain God in this life. Someone was asking me just 2 days ago that why don't more people turn towards the path to God? So I explained that it requires the association of a saint. He said, well, why can't we figure out on our own that God is the ultimate goal? It seems like a logical thing, seems very straightforward. Why can't we decide that on our own? So the way it's been explained to me is how I explained it to him. That since we can't see God, and the world is right in front of us, we will always choose, if our mind is left on its own, it will always choose to seek happiness in the world. No matter how many times we're disappointed, no matter how many times we have the experience of enjoying something and finding it not fully satisfying, even though it was good, it left us wanting more and we still feel empty inside. And we still feel desperate to find happiness. Yet, even if we go through lifetime after lifetime of experiencing this, we will never make the decision on our own that happiness, true happiness, doesn't exist in the world. It only exists in God. We will never come to that decision on our own. We'll keep trying to find happiness in worldly things. So in that way, we're like a fly who is caught against the windshield in your car. And even if you roll down the window, the fly may not fly out the window on its own. Why? Because it's on the windshield and it sees there's clear air ahead of it. It's blind to the glass. It can't see the glass, so it keeps trying to fly out that way. It doesn't matter if it hits its head 10 times or 100 times or 1,000 times. It can't decide on its own that, oh, I can't get out this way. It's broad and open, clear sky. The fly just keeps trying to go that way. You have to take it with your hand and go like this, out the open window. Then it goes. That's how our mind is. No. I'm sure there's happiness in this thing. Look, it looks so appealing. I didn't get happiness from it last time, but let me try again. And we just keep doing it over and over, uncountable lifetimes. Just like the fly will keep trying to get out through the windshield until he dies. He can never change his mind on his own. We keep trying to find happiness in worldly things through our whole life until the day we die, and then we start with the same thing again in the next life. So it takes actually a saint to grab us and say, no, this way. Even though such things are also written in the scriptures, we need somebody that we trust who tells us, no, this is wrong, go this way. This is one of the reasons that we need a saint. So this is why in the Bhagavatam it's written, Nrideha Madhyam Khalu Dharma Sadhanam, Nrideha Madhyam. This Nrideha is Madhyam. Yani Madhya. It's a means to attain something. Guru Karna Dharam Plavam Sukalpam. The ocean of Maya can be crossed through this, the use of this human body, which is like a fit vessel, a strong boat that can cross this endless ocean of Maya. And Maya Anukulena Nabhasvateritam. Shri Krishna says, he's telling Uddhav, and my grace is like the wind in your sails. Your boat is a sailboat. It can't fly. It can't move without grace, without wind. So my grace is pushing you. But you need the help of Guru Karna Dharam, the helmsman. Who's going to steer your boat in the right direction? Nrideha Madhyam Sulabham Sukalpam Plavam Sukalpam Guru Karna Dharam Mayanukulena Nabhasvateritam. Shri Krishna says, the one who gets this body, has my wind in his sails, and has a guru as his helmsman, a true God-realized saint, and still doesn't attain God, Atamaha, that person is like the killer of their own soul, because this is the thing they've always wanted. This is the thing their soul has always wanted. And God has given them this equipment. See, the same thing is written in Ramayana. Nar tanu bhav varidhi kahu bero sanmukh maruta anugrah mero karan dhar sadguru dridhanava durlabh saj sulabh karipava jo natarai bhav sagar nar samaj aspai so krit nindak mand mati atmahan gati jai so paratr dukh pavai sir dhuni dhuni pachitai kalahi karmahi ishwarahi mithya dosh lagai. Ramayana says the same thing. It's like a direct translation of this shloka from Bhagavatam. It means that this human body is like a boat to take you across the endless ocean of Maya, and God's wind, God's grace is the wind providing the, propelling you across the ocean. But if someone isn't steering your boat in the right direction, you have no understanding of should I go in this direction, that direction, which way should I go. The guru has to be driving the boat. And of course, having received all of that, if we don't use this human life to try to cross this ocean of Maya and attain God, then Tulsidasji also says, Atamahanagati jai, we are like the killers of our own soul, and we will regret it. Sira dhuni dhuni pachitaya. Even though we may blame Kal, Karm, and Ishwar, and say, oh, well, God didn't grace me, that's why I didn't get any bhakti in this life. Or, oh, it wasn't in my destiny. Or it just wasn't the right time. We may shift the blame somewhere else, but actually, all the responsibility is on us to make use of this opportunity. But the main point is here that Shri Krishna in the Bhagavatam and Tulsidasji in his Ramayana, they're saying you need a guru to steer your boat. You have to have that. To sare shastra mein likha hai ki guru ki zarurat hai. Hum apne aap itna bhi nahi samaj sakte hain ki anand kahan hai. Bhale hi hum anant janma tak aur isi janma mein anant baar is sansar se humko dukh milta hai aur hum baar baar aasha karein ki isse anand mile, anand thoda sa jo anand milta bhi hai wo bhi chanak hai aur usi vastu ya vyakti se dukh bhi milne lagta hai. Aisa anubhav anant baar karne par bhi abhi tak humne sansar ki aasha nahi chhodi. Kyon nahi? Kyunki sansar maya ka bana hai aur hamara man bhi maya ka bana hai. Dono sajatiya hain. To man kabhi apne aap is sansar ki aasha nahi chhod sakta. Apne aap nahi chhodega. Guru ki zarurat hai. Guru ko humko pakadna padega. Ni beta, wahan mat jao, idhar aao. Anand yahan nahi hai, anand yahan hai. Aur baar baar seedha karna padta hai guru ko. To guru ki zarurat hai. Ye pramukh baat hai. Achha, to ab dusri baat aayi hai ki guru kaise mil sakte hain. How can we find a guru? If it's so important, Kathopanishad, uttishthata, jagrata, awake, arise, get true knowledge from a qualified guru. So then someone might think, okay, let me go out and find a guru. Let me search the world over for a guru. Actually, even though it's good that someone would have that desire, it's not even possible for us to go on our own and find a guru. Our scriptures tell us, Adau shraddha tatah sadhu sangoth bhajanakriya. One of the most important scriptures on bhakti, the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu by Rup Goswami. He says, Adau shraddha tatah sadhu sangaha. First, shraddha. Shraddha means faith, desire for God. A hunger, spiritual hunger. Or you could say a desire for a guru. That has to be in our heart first. Tataha means then, after that. Sadhu sang. Sadhu is another name for a saint. And sang, you get the association of a saint. How does it happen? Like we were singing yesterday in the bhajan, Guru Mile Kripa Sarkar. We meet the Guru through God's grace. He's always watching, he's waiting, and as soon as a soul can benefit from the association of a Guru, he arranges it. He sends a Guru for us. There would never be a delay from his side. He doesn't have anything to gain by testing us or making us wait for something. As soon as a soul is of such a mentality that they could benefit from the association of a true saint, God will arrange it. Atha bhajanakriya, and after meeting the true saint, true bhajan begins. So first we pray. You can say, pray directly to God. Please help me. I want to find you in this life. But I need the guidance of a guru. So please arrange it. Send someone into my life. So that part seems pretty simple. That part, the responsibility is mostly on God to send us a guru. We have this much responsibility that we have to desire. Then wait, keep praying, keep asking him. But then after that, having met a guru, how do we recognize that guru and how do we receive the benefit that we're supposed to from that guru? That is the next question. Hum log kaise guru dhoond sakte hain, nahi dhoond sakte hain. Koi bhi asli guru apne aap dhoond nahi sakta hai. Bhagwan bhej denge. Tab bhej denge jab hum log tayar ho jate hain. Tayar hone ka kya matlab hai? Bhook honi chahiye. Bhagwan ke liye, Bhagwan ko paane ke liye bhook honi chahiye. Guru milne ke liye bhook honi chahiye. Usi ko shraddha bolte hain. To Rup Goswami ne likha hai ki pehle shraddha karo. Shraddha utpann karo. Uske baad Bhagwan kuch karenge ki aapko guru mile. Aur guru ke sang karne ke baad hi asli bhajan shuru hota hai. Asli bhakti शुरू होती है तो गुरु मिलने के बाद हम कैसे पहचान सकते हैं मान लो कि भगवान ने भेज दिया हमको कैसे पता चलेगा कि असली संत भेज दिया? इस संसार में तो हर किस्म के लोग होते हैं, असली संत भी होते हैं, ढोंगी बाबा भी होते हैं, तो हमको पता कैसे चलेगा कि हमको असली संत मिला है? Now we come to this problem actually of trying to recognize a saint. Because we may be praying to God, please send me a guru. How do we know whether we're meeting a true guru or someone who's posing as a saint? Because in this day and age, actually speaking, there are more fake saints than true saints by a good solid majority. In fact, it's very rare to get the chance to meet a true saint, and it's very easy to meet someone posing as a saint. So how could we even recognize, oh, this is a true saint, and I should associate with this saint and take the benefit of this saint's grace? Because there are four, to make matters even more difficult, there are four kinds of people in this world. There are those who are not God-realized. They're not saints. So from inside, they're mayic, just like you and me. And from outside, they don't try to pretend to be anything else. They also behave as ordinary people in the world. No one would ever confuse them with being a God-realized saint. There are plenty of people like this in the world. Then we have the second kind of person. From inside, they are not God-realized. But from outside, they try to enact, a persona which is in accordance with the stereotype people have in their mind of what a saint should be like. People have a certain idea in mind that a saint dresses a certain way, lives a certain lifestyle, maybe talks a certain way. So knowing this general stereotype that people have, that person tries to behave and dress and talk in that way, but from inside they're not God-realized. That's the second kind of person. Then we have the third kind of person, an actual God-realized saint. So on the inside, they're divine. And on the outside, they also happen to fit that stereotype that we have in mind. That stereotype is generally like, you know, think of some movie you've seen of it, and there's a rishi. So the rishi has a long beard and his hair matted on his head, and he's wearing some kind of robes, usually orange robes or perhaps white robes, and living a simple life, maybe living in a hut somewhere, or if not a hut, at least living a simple life. So we have this general idea of what a saint is supposed to, how a saint should appear from the outside. There are real saints who have fit this stereotype, certainly. But the problem is that we have a fourth type of person who is a real saint on the inside but doesn't fit this outer stereotype. We've had many saints like Kabir Das. Did he fit that stereotype? No. He lived in an ordinary family. He was married. He had kids. He worked his whole life as a weaver, barely eking out an existence and providing for his family. If you met such a person, would you just assume, oh, he's a saint? No, you wouldn't. And yet, if you met a person in the same town as Kabir Das, who lived about 500 years ago, let's say you met someone who was dressed like me and looked like me in that same town, whereas you would assume Kabir Das is an ordinary person, you would assume the person who looks like this is a God-realized saint. And in both cases, we would be wrong. That person who's dressing like that is just an ordinary person from inside? So this presents a problem. How do we recognize the true saint? When we have saints living as ordinary people, and we have ordinary people posing as saints, and there's nothing from outside to judge between the two. There's no university that saints go to where they get a certificate, and then only true God-realized saints can have that certificate on their wall, like you go to your doctor and you see, oh, he's got a certificate from Harvard. He graduated from Harvard, or she graduated from Harvard, so now you have confidence. My doctor is highly qualified. He couldn't have just gotten that certificate from anywhere. It's got that special seal on it. Could have only come from Harvard. There's no such seal, there's no such certificate that a saint carries around, like your passport. You know, are you an American citizen? You pull out your passport. Okay, he's got a passport. He must be an American citizen. There's nothing like this. There's no physical change that happens that could tip you off that someone is a saint or isn't a saint. तो हम लोगों के सामने एक बहुत बड़ी समस्या है कि हम नहीं पहचान सकते हैं बाहर से कि कौन संत है क्योंकि चार तरह के लोग इस संसार में रहते हैं एक तरह हम लोग या आप लोग यानी अंदर से मायिक बाहर से भी मायिक यानी नॉर्मल आप लोगों में से कोई भी ऐसा नाटक नहीं करता है कि मैं संत हूं आप किसी को ये विश्वास दिलाने की कोशिश नहीं करते हैं कि आप संत हैं सभी आपको देखकर सोचते हैं कि ये तो आम आदमी है मेरे जैसे ठीक है लेकिन ऐसे लोग भी हैं ऐसे भी लोग हैं संसार में जो अंदर से हम लोगों की तरह हैं लेकिन बाहर से एक्टिंग करते हैं यानी मेरे जैसे धोती पहनते हैं दाढ़ी लंबा कर देते हैं बाल लंबे कर देते हैं और लोग देख के समझेंगे कि ये संत है लेकिन बाहर ऐसे होने से कोई संत नहीं बनता संत होना अंदर वाली बात है देखिए तीसरे तरह के लोग देखिए एक जो अंदर से महापुरुष है लेकिन बाहर से वो आम लोगों की तरह जी रहा है इस संसार में जैसे तुकाराम जी भी हाँ उन्होंने कुछ भजन लिखे हैं लेकिन उनके बाल बच्चे भी थे काम भी करते थे पैसे कमाने के लिए यानी वो गृहस्थी थे तो उनको देख के लोग समझ सकते थे कि वो हमारे जैसे थे लेकिन नहीं थे अंदर से महापुरुष थे और चौथे तरह के लोग हैं जो अंदर से महापुरुष हैं और बाहर से भी जो लोग समझते हैं कि जो महापुरुष है वो ऐसे कपड़े पहनते हैं ऐसी बातें करते हैं ऐसे मतलब उनका लाइफस्टाइल है जो हम लोग समझते हैं कुछ ही थोड़े ही असली संतों ने ऐसा जीवन बिताया तो चार तरह के लोग हैं दो संसारी और दो महापुरुष वाले लोग संसारी लोग जो अंदर से संसारी हैं और बाहर से भी ऐसे ही लगते हैं उसमें तो कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं है और संत लोग जो असली संत हैं अंदर से और बाहर से भी कोई संसारी एक्टिंग करते भी नहीं है उसमें भी कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं है, लेकिन जो संसारी लोग संतों का एक्टिंग करते हैं और जो संत लोग संसारियों का एक्टिंग करते हैं उसमें प्रॉब्लम है हमारे लिए। हम कैसे समझ सकते हैं, हम कैसे पहचानेंगे कौन संत है और कौन मायाबद्ध जीव है? जब मायाबद्ध जीव संतों का एक्टिंग करता है और मायातीत महापुरुष मायाबद्ध जीवों का एक्टिंग करता है, तब प्रॉब्लम है हमारे लिए। सो व्हाट कैन वी डू? लकली फॉर अस देयर आर अ फ्यू वेज दैट यू कैन रिकॉग्नाइज अ सेंट, बट देयर इज नो इंस्टेंट वे। That's the first mistake we make. We think we can judge who a saint is or isn't instantly by their appearance. So the first thing is, take this thought out of your mind altogether, that you can judge who is a saint by their appearance. Just forget about that totally. It doesn't matter if they're wearing jeans and a t-shirt, they could be a saint. It doesn't matter if they're married with kids, they could be a saint. It doesn't matter if they're wearing orange robes and have a long beard, they could be an ordinary mayabadh soul. So just take that idea out completely. It doesn't matter if they're sitting on a stage and giving beautiful lectures about God. Great oratory is not a sign of being a saint. There are people, politicians who are great speakers who can motivate people and impress with their ability to string words together. If that politician decided to give lectures about God, people would start believing he's a God-realized saint. Why? Just because he's inspirational. So we can't make decisions based on that. But through our experience over time, if we associate with a true saint, there are a couple of things that we can count on. And one of those things is, just like if you go closer to a fire on a cold night like tonight, let's say that in the back parking lot we made a big fire like on Lohri, and you were shivering in the cold, you see, oh, there's a nice campfire happening behind the mandir. Let me go close. So as you come close, what happens? You start to feel warm and your shivering goes away. The cold is driven away. The closer you come, the warmer you feel and the more the cold is driven away. In the very same way, the closer we come to a saint, the more we associate with a saint, the more attachment to God develops in our heart. The more bhav, the more intensity of longing to meet God develops in our heart. That's the warmth. And attachment for the world decreases. That's the cold being driven away. This actually can only happen through the association of a true saint. As I mentioned yesterday, we've all done so much bhakti in this life and all of our previous lives. And I mentioned that we've never attained God because we never fully accepted the help of a saint in our life. But let's even come down a step from attaining God. Think about all the devotion you've done in this life. All the hours you've spent doing devotion. Did your attachment in the world decrease by doing that? Did your attachment to God increase? For most people, it stays the same, or perhaps over their life, their attachment to God might even decrease a little, and attachment in the world goes on multiplying. So we have to look at that and say, what's missing? The association of a true saint is what's missing. By associating with a true saint, with that saint's grace, we start to develop more attachment for God, and our worldly attachments gradually reduce. So, if you have been associating with someone you may think is a saint, and associating means listening to their teachings and following that, applying that in your life, practicing what they teach, following the path they teach. If you've been doing that and you're getting some kind of result like this, that is a sign that you have met a true saint. And if you're doing so and you're not getting these results, that's a sign that perhaps this person isn't a saint. Another thing is that a saint's words are not just inspiring or flowery or nice to listen to. A saint's words have impact behind them, actually. Like, see, let's say I write you a check for $1 million. But I only have $100 in the bank. What's the value of that check? It says $1 million on it, but it's of no value. That's like a person who hasn't attained God talking about God. There's no power in those words. They're just words. There's nothing behind it. But when a true saint talks about God, that's like someone who has $1 billion in the bank writing you a $1 million check. There's power behind it. That piece of paper has value now. So this is kind of an intangible. It's not something that you can measure with any kind of instrument. But you may find, oh, you know, I've been listening to so many people who give lectures. I've been listening to so many people who talk about God. But when I heard this person, there was something that happened, like something unraveled inside of me, some confusion I had, something changed or shifted. That is a sign that the person you're listening to is not an ordinary soul. It's like a gun that fires blanks or a gun that fires real bullets. So the person who just talks, that person may even be a scholar and know all kinds of shlokas and mantras from our scriptures and be able to quote them for you. But if they're not God-realized, they're just firing a gun. It's going to make lots of noise, but nothing's going to happen because the bullets are blanks. Whereas when a saint speaks, those are real bullets. So they enter our heart and what do they kill? They kill our confusion, that knot of spiritual confusion that we have. It starts loosening that. Of course, it depends on the receptivity of a person. A nail can't be pounded into a rock, but it will easily enter into the soft ground, right? Similarly, our heart has to be receptive to receive the saint's teachings. Only then we can feel the effect. But these are a couple of things that you can rely on. Over time, you may realize that you're experiencing this, and that can give you some idea that you are associating with a true saint. Ek baat hai ki sant के संग करने से हमारा भगवान में मन का लगाव बढ़ेगा और संसार की आसक्ति कम हो जाएगी. बहुत सरल उपाय है. यदि हमने किसी का संग किया है और हम जानना चाहते हैं कि क्या ये असली संत है, तो अपने आप से पूछो. कई महीने हो गए हैं और जो ये संत बता रहे हैं मैं कर रहा हूं, वो भी जरूरी है. मैं मार्ग पर चल रहा हूं जैसे ये संत ने बताया है, और अभी तक भगवान के प्रति आसक्ति नहीं बढ़ी, मन का लगाव नहीं बढ़ा और संसारी आसक्ति कम नहीं हुई, बल्कि मेरी संसारी आसक्ति बढ़ती जा रही है, जो अक्सर होता है। तो फिर हम समझ सकते हैं कि हम ये असली संत नहीं है, क्योंकि ये जो असली संत का प्रभाव है हमारे ऊपर कि समय बिताने पर, मतलब कई महीने तक यदि हम असली संग करें, यानी मन का संग करें, तो ऐसा होना चाहिए। संत आग का जैसा होता है, आप जितना पास जाओगे आग के प्रति, आग के पास, तो उतना आपको गर्म लगेगा और उतना ठंड दूर हो जाएगी। ऐसे ही असली संत पास आने से उतना हमारा मन का लगाव भगवान में बढ़ेगा, भगवान से प्रेम बढ़ेगा और संसारी आसक्ति कम हो जाएगी। तो ये एक तरीका है। दूसरी बात है कि संतों के शब्दों में शक्ति है। एक मायाबद्ध जीव भी वही सेंटेंस बोल सकता है, वही शब्द बोल सकते हैं, लेकिन उसमें कोई पावर नहीं है। वो पावर कहां से आता है? वो पावर है क्योंकि वो असली संत में, उनके मन में भगवान है, भगवान की पूरी शक्ति है, भगवान का अनुभव हो चुका है उनको, हो रहा है। तो जब वो बोलता है, वो अनुभव से बोल रहा है, उसमें पावर है। तो इसलिए संतों के शब्द हमारे हृदय घुस सकते हैं और कुछ बदल सकते हैं कि पता नहीं क्या हो गया, उनके शब्द सुन के मेरे भगवान के प्रति श्रद्धा बढ़ गई। तो ये वैसे इस पर डिपेंड होता है कि हमारा हृदय कितना कठोर है, हम कैसे सुनते हैं संतों की बात। यदि हमारा मन बंद है तो फिर संत भी बोल रहे कोई असर नहीं पड़ेगा, लेकिन यदि हम श्रद्धा से सुन रहे हैं तो संतों के शब्दों का अधिक प्रभाव होता है। ये हम महसूस कर सकते हैं, लेकिन उसमें समय लगेगा। कोई भी पहले ही दिन समझ नहीं सकता है कि ये संत है कि नहीं है। समय बिताना पड़ता है, उस संत के पास रहना पड़ता है, उनका बताया हुआ मार्ग पर चलना पड़ता है, जैसे उन्होंने कहा, तभी हमको कुछ आइडिया हो सकता है कि ये संत है कि नहीं। तो अभी तक आज मैंने आपको दो उपाय बताए हैं, उससे उसके अलावा और भी हैं, लेकिन मैं वो कल बताऊंगा। और ये भी बताऊंगा कि कुछ चीजें, तीन चीजें संत कभी नहीं करेगा। तो ये देख कर हम समझ सकते हैं बहुत जल्दी कि नहीं, ये संत नहीं हो सकते हैं, वो मैं कल बताऊंगा। सो टुडे आई explain to you two ways that you can over time recognize who a true saint is. There are actually more ways, so I'll explain those tomorrow. And I'll also explain to you that there are three things that a true saint will never do. Bole Vrindavan Bihari Lal ki, Srimat Sadguru Sarkar ki.